Welcome to the Beamsville Church of Christ video ministry. Services are presented on YouTube, Facebook, and our website 1 week following recording. This week's message is titled, Revival, Then and Now. Thank you to Don and Alan for being involved. I'll read the scripture from Nehemiah during the welcome.
Good morning, everybody. I'd like to encourage you to come in and have a seat. Welcome back. A couple of announcements to begin our service time together this morning. I'd like to wish happy birthday to William and happy anniversary to Tina and Earl and John and Gloria separately on different days, different relationships. We have a few prayer requests as well. Marie M. is still in the hospital. She is recovering, but there are some complications following her surgery. She's hoping to come home this week. And her husband, Jack, has been approved for a new treatment, which they are really hopeful will improve his quality of life as well. There is a card for Marie out in the lobby, so please, if you get a chance, sign that and send your love and your thoughts to her. Wanda, who we are used to be a member here, is recovering from heart surgery. That seems to have been successful, so we're pleased to have those prayers answered. Her daughter Melissa is in Sarnia Hospital after unexpected surgery. So we continue to keep that family in our prayers. We have good news. Many of you will probably have heard Mike is back at work. So he has sent a card. This will also be out in the back if you want to read it yourself, but I will read it for those who are watching at home. To my family in Christ, thank you for all the encouragement and valued prayers and food and flowers. Still some work to be done on the eye in the future. But now by your love, support, and compassion and the grace of God, I'm well getting back to myself. Love and hugs, Mike. So thank you, Mike, for that. Let's begin our time together with a word of prayer today. Lord, it is good to be back together. Thank you for the awesome privilege we have to be your children, to be your family all together here again. Thank you for the progress that has been made in healthcare here to help us to get back to the way we're used to things being. Lord, please continue to bless the healthcare workers all around the world, those who are suffering now and who are in recovery from this disease. We ask for your continued guidance as we move forward into whatever comes next. Lord, we are so thankful for the doctors you've provided to give surgeries, to provide treatment for those we love and even for those we don't know. Thank you for the healing that we are experiencing here. And we ask for your continued presence in our lives as we move forward. Lord, as we come to you now, we hope that our worship time will be pleasing to you, that we will be a people united all around the world in praise of you and of your Son and of your Spirit. Through them we come to you now. Amen. This morning the scripture reading is a couple of verses from Nehemiah. Ezra opened the book. All the people could see him because he was standing above them. And as he opened it, the people all stood up. Ezra praised the Lord, the great God, and all the people lifted their hands and responded, Amen, Amen. Then they bowed down. You don't have to do this part. Then they bowed down and worshiped the Lord with their faces to the ground. Then Nehemiah, the governor, Ezra, the priest, and teacher of the law, and the Levites who were instructing the people said to them all, This day is holy to the Lord your God. Do not mourn or weep. For all the people had been weeping as they listened to the words of the law. Nehemiah said, Go and enjoy choice food and sweet drinks, and send some to those who have nothing prepared. This day is holy to our Lord. Do not grieve, for the joy of the Lord is your strength. The Levites calmed all the people, saying, Be still, for this is a holy day. Do not grieve. Then all the people went away to eat and drink, to send portions of food and to celebrate with great joy, because they now understood the words that had been made known to them. Amen.
Good morning, everyone, and good morning to those who are listening or will be watching this in the future. Revivals can't be planned. In fact, over the years of trying to plan a revival, it just doesn't always work. Revivals have something that comes because of God's Spirit. The more we try to plan a revival, the more revivals don't work. I heard a story this past week about a preacher who was hired. He was on fire for the Lord. And for the first 5 years of his ministry, he had a large sign on his desk that said, "Win the world for Christ." Well, he hadn't. In fact, he hadn't even won one person for Christ as much as he tried. So for his second 5 years of ministry, he put up a new sign on his desk. It didn't say win the world for Christ. It said win one or two for Christ. The year went by and he didn't win anyone for Christ. And so finally he put up one last sign, and that remained on his desk for the rest of his ministry. And the sign said, "Try not to lose too many." Sometimes that happens. But I want to spend some time today talking about the fact that revivals occur by God's Spirit, and we know they do. Some of you remember when we had a traditional service on Sunday morning and we had a contemporary service on Sunday evening, and we had a lot of people come to the Sunday evening service who weren't part of us. They belonged to other churches, but they liked the contemporary service on Sunday evening. And some of you were part of that, and there were times in those services that many of you can recall that there was a stirring of the Lord, is the only way I could put it. And I know some people don't like that kind of language, but it was more than emotion. It was the Holy Spirit testifying to our own spirit that we belong to God. Those are not my words. Those are the words of the Apostle Paul in Romans chapter 8 and verse 16. The Holy Spirit testifies with our own spirit that we are God's children. Trying to manufacture that on our own intellectually, it's a pursuit. But we know when we're close to God, and we know when we aren't. Throughout the scriptures, Old Testament and New, and believe it or not, more old than new, there were revivals of the Lord that took place. Let me just give you a couple. There was a revival under King Jehoash in 2 Kings chapters 11 and 12. There was a revival under King Hezekiah in 2 Kings chapter 18. There was a revival under King Asa, 2 Chronicles chapters 15. There was a revival under King Josiah, 2 Kings 22 and 23. There was a revival at the time of Zerubbabel in Ezra, Ezra chapters 5 and 6. There was a revival under Nehemiah in Nehemiah chapter 8 and 9 and 13. There are not too many revivals in the New Testament, except we remember Pentecost. For many people who came to the Lord and were baptized into Christ, for many of them, it's because they heard the sermon in Acts chapter 2, a revival that still works today. And it's not just a couple of verses. It's the entire understanding of the working of God's Spirit testifying to people's spirit, people who had come from all over the known world at that time to Pentecost, which was very much a traditional holiday, and God's Spirit was at work, and it created a major revival. I'm not suggesting for a moment that you don't know the story, but maybe we can say some things today that would be helpful. If you have your phone, you can follow along with me. I'm just going to be going through Acts chapters 2 and 3, familiar, but maybe we have not spent as much time on it as we wish. I don't want to be a preacher that says, "Try not to lose too many." I want to be a preacher, and I want every woman and every man in our congregation and anyone who is a believer to say revival is not dead. God's Spirit is not dead. And in difficult times, sometimes those are the times when people's hearts are open to hear the word of the Lord. And at Pentecost, which was very much a Jewish holiday, I read the words from Luke in the book of Acts. When the day of Pentecost came, the disciples were all together in one place. Suddenly, a sound like the blowing of a violent wind came from heaven and filled the whole house where they were sitting. Can you imagine? They saw what seemed to be tongues of fire that separated and came to rest on each of them. And all of them were filled with the Holy Spirit, and they began to speak in other languages as the Spirit enabled them. I don't know if you've had any kind of experience that's somewhat similar to that. I don't think any of us could ever be part of something that would be so profound. But have you ever been in a worship service, maybe when you were younger, maybe hasn't been too many years ago, where you could feel something unique happening in that auditorium, where the singing is wonderful, the prayers are good, but it's not that. And the preaching is okay, but it's not that. There's just something that's coming into your heart. And maybe you've heard those words previously, but it's changing your mind. It's changing your soul. It's changing your thinking. And you can't really explain it. And you go home and you think about those things, and maybe it dawns on us. It's the Spirit of God working in our lives. And it's possible that maybe someone today hearing this sermon, or wherever they hear it, whenever it is, that it might change someone's life. Not because of me, but because of the Spirit of God working in people's lives. And you know that can happen. Remember a number of years ago when we had a wonderful preacher come and preach for us, and one of the wonderful women of our congregation said, you know, I've never had that experience, but when he was preaching, I just felt and I saw what looked to be angels all around him while he was preaching. He didn't know that. No one else knew that, but she saw that. Try telling somebody about that. And you kind of go, oh, really? Oh, really? Yeah. Well, you didn't have that experience then. There are experiences in people's lives that change them forever. And we don't have to explain it, because we know that God's Holy Spirit testifies with our own spirit that Jesus is the Christ. And it's not that he's just the Christ, but he's working. He's reviving our spiritual hearts if we allow him. So in Acts chapter 2, when Jesus leaves the earth, he said, but I'm still going to be with you. I'm going to be living in your heart. This bewilderment takes over at Pentecost. Many people came to Pentecost for many, many, many years, but they never experienced anything like this. And you may be a Christian, and you may have been in church since you were knee-high to a grasshopper, and you've never really had those experiences. But that's not to say that God won't allow those experiences to happen in your life. They come when they come. Revivals come when God's Spirit is poured out into people's hearts. And maybe when we yearn for God's Spirit to help us to grow, not just to be mediocre Christians, but Christians that want to share the gospel of God to others. Since they were staying in Jerusalem, God-fearing Jews from every nation of the world, and when they heard this, a crowd came together in bewilderment. They heard them speaking in their own language. Utterly amazed, they said, are not all of these men speaking Galileans? How is it that each of us hears them in his own language? Again, it's just a reiteration that this is something of God's Spirit. And they began to speak, and we hear them declaring the wonders of God in our own language. Incredible experience. And then Peter, and I think Peter, every chance he got after the resurrection of Jesus, because he had doubted Jesus, I think Peter, every chance he got, he wanted to share. Revival is always possible. And so he says, fellow Jews, and all of you who are in Jerusalem, let me explain this to you. Listen carefully to what I say. These men that are experiencing, they're not drunk, as you suppose. It's only 9 o'clock in the morning. Now, this, what you see, was spoken by the prophet Joel hundreds of years beforehand, that in these last days, God said, I will pour out my spirit on all people. That's never stopped. I will pour out my spirit on all people. Just like God pours out his love into our hearts. Just like Jesus renews and revives us and whispers to us, I will never leave you. I will never forsake you. I am with you always. If you ever get the loneliness blues, just realize who is around you and who is in you. And here is this promise that he gives. In these last days, God said, I will pour out my spirit on all people. Your sons and your daughters will preach. They will prophesy. They will declare the word of God. Your young men will see visions. Your old men will dream dreams. Even on my servants, both men and women, I will pour out my spirit and they will prophesy. They will declare the word of the Lord. Beautiful, beautiful passage. And then he gives an apocalyptic kind of language. And I will show wonders in heaven above and signs on the earth below, blood and fire and billows of smoke. This is not meant to be literal. It's the kind of language that's used in books like Ezekiel, in Revelation. It's an intended exaggeration saying something unique is taking place. And it's the Spirit of God being poured out. Verse 21, everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. And so, men of Israel, people of Israel, listen to this. Jesus of Nazareth was a man accredited to you by God, by miracles, wonders, and signs which God did among you through him, as you yourselves know. You were there. You experienced it. Some of you had it happen to you. And then it says, God did this among yourselves. And then he says in verse 23, this Jesus, this man was handed over to you by God's set purpose and foreknowledge. And you, with the help of wicked men, put him to death by nailing him on the cross. But God raised him from the dead. Now we know that. But there were people there who heard what Peter was saying. And they would say, yeah, I helped him be crucified. I was the one that put my thumbs up for his death. God raised him from the dead. What? What? This man was handed over to you by God's set purpose and foreknowledge, and you, with the help of wicked people, put him to death by nailing him to the cross. That's right. I did that. But God raised him from the dead, freeing him from the agony of death, because it was impossible for death to keep its grasp or its hold on him. Can you imagine if you were one of those people that you put your thumbs up for his death, and then all of a sudden, God's Holy Spirit, you're hearing this word of God saying, you're right. You're quoting all the Old Testament scriptures. I know. I know all those scriptures. And that event is referred to by all those prophets. I was there and I put my thumbs up for his death, realizing that's not what the prophets were talking about. They were talking about our faith in the Messiah who would come and live and die for us and be raised again, showing us that death is not the end. A profound message. 2,000 years ago, we might say. just as profound today. You can't manufacture revivals, but we can pray for revivals. And when the sermon is preached by Peter, so many people respond, and it's an incredible experience that takes place. And then I'm going to just move along somewhat in chapter 2 here, and I'll start to wrap up. In verse 29 of Acts chapter 2, he says, "Brothers, I can tell you confidently that the patriarch David died and was buried, and his tomb is here to this day." Some people thought that it was David who had been raised from the dead. No, his tomb is right there. His bones are right there. Seeing what was ahead, he spoke of the resurrection of Christ, that he was not abandoned to the grave, nor did his body undergo decay. That's right, they said. That's right. Those scriptures are true. Is it possible that he really was raised? Yes, he has been raised. People saw him. Others said, "I touched him. He's not a ghost." So he spoke about the resurrection of Christ. And then verse 32, God raised this Jesus to life, and we are all witnesses of that fact. And so are you. And so are I. Exalted to the right hand of God, he has received from the Father the Holy Spirit. So do we. Has been poured out on what you now see and hear. It wasn't David. And then Peter wraps this up in a remarkable, powerful, revival way. Therefore, let all of Israel be confident of this, be assured of this. God has made this Jesus, whom you crucified, both Lord and Christ, meaning Savior. And when the people heard this, they were cut to the heart and said to Peter and the other apostles, "What shall we do?" I don't know if you can remember this or not, but do you remember the first time you heard that Jesus died for you? And maybe you heard that all your life, but then something happened one day. It generally happens to most of us. That went from understanding to, "Oh, this is for me. Jesus died for me." And that if I was the only person in the world, he did this for me. Do you remember feeling that? And do you remember when you said, "I have to do something about this. I'm going to thank him. I'm going to pour my heart out to him." The people were asking, what do we do with all of this information? And Peter said, "Change your life, repent, be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Christ Jesus, so that your sins will be forgiven, and you will receive the Holy Spirit coming to live in your life." And it was the Holy Spirit who helped convince us to be baptized. And do you, for those of you who are hearing this sermon, do you remember when you were baptized? There just aren't words. They're just not the right words to fully explain that somehow God has decided to come and live in your life forever. And sure enough, every once in a while, we need a revival to be reminded. And every once in a while, something happens where it may bring you to your knees with joy. And something may happen where you might see something that no one else sees, and you know it's of God. You may hear something that no one else heard, and you know is from God. You see, Pentecost was the festival. The reality is God's reviving us. Nowhere does it ever say in the Bible that there will no longer be revivals. It never says that. And I thank the Lord for that. Because in difficult times, we are reminded that God's arms are around us, and always and often when we don't expect it, revival will come. Amen.
Good morning.
Good morning, everyone.
It's wonderful to see you. It's wonderful to be here. Just wonderful. Wonderful day. I can even see you smiling behind those masks. Well, there's a number of things that went through my mind about today. One, I was just really happy to be able to come and do this rather than staring into a laptop or a tablet or something else. And it gave me a lot to think about. You know, there's a lot of changes happened over the past 400 plus days that we've been going through this. And it gave me a lot of time to think. And that can be dangerous at times. But one of the things I thought of was the fact that, you know, we took and take so many things for granted. Up until, you know, a year and a half, 2 years ago, it wouldn't have entered our minds that we would not be able to get together to worship. Never entered our minds that we couldn't see our children or grandchildren. That we would not be able to see those in hospital who are passing. That we would not be able to be there to comfort our friends and our families. So much we take for granted. And then I thought of all the other things I can take for granted. My wonderful wife, children, friends. You never know when that's going to change. We never have a clue. You know, we're walking along one day and everything's okay, and the next day, totally different world. We take it for granted. A lot of times, I find I take my faith for granted, and I find myself drifting off it. And I was thinking when I read that little piece that Adam sent me about Don's talk being on revival. And I think it's really important. A lot of people have not experienced it. I've experienced it twice, the tail end of one, the Toronto Blessing, and one in Lakeland. And they're funny. They're very funny things because they happen generally not, rarely if ever, in one of the recognized churches like, you know, the United Church, the Anglican Church. They happen in little out of the way places, like a little church in Wales, or a little place in Chicago, or a place in Toronto. But it is so incredible to feel it, to experience it. You walk into that situation, you can feel the energy surrounding you, that your hair on your arms, everything stands up. It's not scary, it feels incredibly good. And sometimes it's so heavy, it literally drives you to the ground, the presence of God. But that's, you know, like Don said, the Lord brings the revivals. You know, there's groups have prayed for 100 years for revival and never got it. 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, a church in Europe. They have done it for 100 years. But revival comes when the Lord decides it's time. And he will bring it and he will take it away. Now, one thing I thought of thinking about revival is, how do I keep reviving my faith? How do I keep revival going on within me when it's so easy and the world around us distracts us from that at all times? I wish I had the answer. I've been praying on it, and I just will leave it to God. is generally when I get in and try to fix things instead of God, I still have to go back to God afterwards, because I've usually messed something up when I think it's my brain telling me what to do. So I think that's something we all pray, not necessarily pray for revival in the church, or that's always great to do, but pray for revival in your own spirit. Look around at your life and all the things that you will put off till tomorrow because, you know, you don't have time. Those words to say to a loved one, that apology needs to be made, that fence needs to be fixed. It's important to all of us to constantly look for that revival. And if we can't look for it in ourselves, where can we look for it? Thank you. I'm going to say one prayer, and it's a prayer that everyone here knows, so I'd like you to join me, but it's one I haven't heard out loud for a long time, and I miss it. Our Father, who art in heaven, please join me. Hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. Lead us not into temptation, deliver us from evil, for thine is the power forever and ever. Amen. Thank you.
Close our time this morning with a reading from 2 Corinthians 13, and then following that, I will ask you to make your way outside and keep your distance from each other, but to greet one another, not quite as this verse is about to say. But finally, brothers and sisters, rejoice. Strive for full restoration. Encourage one another. Be of one mind. Live in peace. And the God of love and peace will be with you. Greet one another with a holy kiss. All God's people here send their greetings. May the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Amen. Have a good week, everybody.
Thanks for watching or listening. The Beamsville Church of Christ meets at 4900 John Street, Beamsville, Ontario. We are currently holding in-person services following provincial COVID-19 regulations. If you would like to be part of the videos but aren't comfortable joining us in person, you can send us a video. Get in touch via email or on Facebook for more details. Scripture quotations marked NIV, taken from the Holy Bible, New International Version, NIV, copyright 2011 by Biblica Inc., used by permission, all rights reserved, worldwide. You can find out more about the congregation on our Facebook page or at beamsvillechurchofchrist.ca.